baptism, and I was a Methodist, you know. I got sprinkled when I was 12 years old. And I tell you what, I felt so clean. I thought, you know, if I never sin anymore, I think I might make it. That lasted about one day. Anyway, I'm going to give some of you guys a chance to find a place in the Bible. I know it's going to take a few minutes, but turn to the book of Genesis. We have had a good time. We have enjoyed ourselves. We know that we're nothing. He's everything. Amen. And we're not big shots. We're not even shots, I don't think. But we have enjoyed ourselves. We've eaten more food. Your preacher likes to eat. Man, I don't know if I could put one more potato down me. You know, he says, let's go eat. And I said, I can't. But anyway, I have a feeling y'all like chickens around here. But I came across this. This is several years ago. And it's a... I just wasn't going to use it, but I just pulled out when y'all started talking about chickens anyway. And my wife is a chicken lover too. And preacher talked about reincarnation this morning. I said, man, if I believe in reincarnation, I want to come back as my wife's dog. Yeah. I don't know whether she's talking to me or the dog. Whenever, if I have my back turned, it's, you know, come here, sweetie, come. I'm thinking, yes, yeah. She's talking to the dog. Yeah. That dog gets stroked, you know, a thing like that. I said, man, alive. So I believe in reincarnation. I want to be her puppy dog. Yeah. Or one of her chickens. She does her chickens the same way. And this is about a little boy. He's about 5, 6 years old. If you see a picture of him, you kind of laugh. But it's about my favorite animal. And he said, our teacher asked us what our favorite animal was, and I said fried chicken. She said I wasn't funny. But she couldn't have been more right because everyone else in the class laughed. My parents told me to always be truthful and honest, and I am. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. I told my dad what happened. He said my teacher was probably a member of PETA, that P-E-T-A, whatever. He said they love animals very much, and I do too, especially chicken, pork, and beef. Anyway, my teacher sent me to the principal's office. I told him what happened. He laughed too. Then he told me not to do it again. Well, the next day in class, my teacher asked me what my favorite live animal. I told her it was chicken. She asked me why, just like she had asked the other day. So I told her it was because you could make them into fried chicken. She sent me back to the principal's office again. He laughed, told me not to do it again. I don't understand. My parents taught me to be honest, and teacher doesn't like it when I am. Today, my teacher asked us to tell what famous person in history I liked. I said, Colonel Sanders. Guess where I am now? Back in the principal's office again. By the way, I can identify with that. I got to meet all my principals personally. Really did. I don't know. They thought I had some information. But anyway, I got to meet them personally. How many people in here are married? Hold your hand up. Keep it up. Now, how many in here are happily married? I don't know. Yeah. Happily married, all right? But anyway, I've had folks tell me that, and we've been married, we're going on 51 years. I know we didn't look like just teenagers, but 51 years, and folks have told me that they never have a fuss. They never have a fight. They never have a disagreement. I said, man, you must be liars. But people actually believe, I mean, we don't have fights and we don't have fusses. We just have a lot of disagreements a lot of time, almost every day. But here's some suggestions on how to start a fight. Really, you don't need one. If you're married, you don't need an excuse. You just start one, all right? I think I almost started one this morning about not throwing your clothes away. But anyway, here's one. One year I decided to buy my mother-in-law a cemetery plot as a Christmas gift. The next year I didn't buy her a gift. And when she asked me why, I replied, well, you still haven't used the gift I bought you last year. And the fight was on. I took my wife to a restaurant. The waiter, for some reason, took my order first. I'll have rump steak, rare, please. He said, aren't you worried about the mad cow? Nah, she'd order for herself. I'm just reading them. I didn't write them. I guarantee. My wife sat down next to me as I was flipping channels. She asked, what's on TV? I said, dust. And then the fight was on. Oh, me. My wife was hinting about what she wanted for our upcoming anniversary. She said, I want something shiny that goes from 0 to 200 in about 3 seconds. I bought her a bathroom scale. And the fight was on. I mean, it doesn't take much, does it, guys, to start a fight? I'll quit on this one because I'll probably finish with this and go with. My wife was standing looking in the bedroom mirror. She was not happy with what she saw and said to me, I feel horrible. I look old, fat, ugly. I really need you to pay me a compliment. I replied, your eyesight's pretty near perfect. And the fight was on. Anyway, I'm leaving town, so I don't care. You know, you want to use some of those things right there. I am leaving town. Y'all got me so shook up, I told y'all to turn to Genesis, and I put my sermon up. Yeah. After that, I better dismiss, hadn't I? But Genesis chapter number 3, I have preached this once in our home church, and Lord gave me this message a couple of months ago, and I mean, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. And if you don't understand that, and this is my 50th anniversary of being a Christian, 48 years in the ministry and 40 years pastoring a church, and we're in a battle. Most folks don't realize that. They think, you know, just like a duck, you know, in the morning, just get up like a duck and water run off your back and you don't even realize anything's going on. But every day, and I found out over these 50 years, Satan doesn't give up. And Satan, in Genesis chapter number 3, well, let's go ahead and read that. Genesis chapter 3, in verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. And Father, thank you for this good church, good spirit, good attitudes. And Father, we thank you for the pastor and his wife and family and their steadfastness. And Father, we just pray tonight that you'll meet with us, give us what we have need of. We'll be careful to thank you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. What I want to speak about tonight, and I sometimes use this message, I say with fear and trembling, because the devil doesn't like to be exposed. And he's an enemy. He hates us. And I want to preach tonight on what Satan gave Eve. Right here, and I've lived a lot of this in chapter 3 in the last couple of years, a lot of things right here in the very beginning, that Satan doesn't change his tactics. He's always been the same way. But there's some Bible facts we need to understand. In Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Look, we're not fighting each other. We shouldn't be fighting each other. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folk, we are in a warfare. If you want to look at 2 Corinthians 2:11, we're not to be ignorant. You know, you take any kind of sports, and the sports team will take all these films for hours and hours and hours. They will study their opponent just to find an edge of how they can defeat their enemy. And by the way, we as Christians, we get saved, we think, well, everything's hunky-dory. But we better study our enemy, because we have our enemy. We have the flesh, we have the world, but we have Satan. And Satan hates you, and he hates me. He hates this church. He'll do anything he can to destroy this church. And we're not to be, he says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The Bible says he is more subtle. He is tricky. He is subtle. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a devil. He's an accuser of the brethren. And so is all his children. And what Satan is, he is a roaring lion. And he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And by the way, he's watching for those who go to sleep in church. You know, this is my favorite service, by the way, Sunday night. Because all the visitors have gone home. And those who really love God, I think, are here tonight. Amen. But he's looking for those who miss church. He's looking to take an advantage somewhere in your life. He's looking for a weakness. And when Satan began his attack, listen, he attacked. And by the way, I like women. My wife says, you don't like women. I do. I like, my wife's one. My grandmother's one. My mother was one. Amen. But ladies, get a hold of this. Because Satan cannot get your soul if you're saved. But he can use you. Just like he used Peter. He looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. He loves to use God's children against God's children. Amen. And so when Satan began his attack, he attacked the woman. You ask why? Well, if you look in 1 Peter 3:7, it tells us why. He attacked the woman. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Folks, the foundation of our society is built on the family. God ordained the family. It's the first institution that Satan attacked. He attacked the family. And that's all this transgenderism and all this garbage day. It is an attack. Black Lives Matter is all an attack on the family to destroy the foundation of our society. And if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I mean, in our homes now, the man is not the man. He's a figurehead. And the woman has risen up because the man wouldn't be the man many times to take leadership, which she was never given or equipped to be. Amen. And so she is the weaker vessel. She was deceived here. And many pastors and many missionaries and laymen and deacons have been disqualified or destroyed because of a woman, a weaker vessel. Folks, the facts are there. And I'm not trying to downplay or point at anybody today, but ladies, you need to listen. God put you in a very elevated position. When he made you as a helpmeet for your husband to help him become what God wants him to be. And now we got husbands and wives competing against each other. They go their separate ways and competing against each other. 71% of all the missionaries that have come home and it could have been prevented. Now that's 71%. I just read that recently. 71% of missionaries that are coming home could have been prevented. And some of them are just what I'm talking about tonight on this. Proverbs 7:26, if you want to look there, says, for she hath cast down many wounded. Folks, the weaker vessel, the strongest man that we know that lived, I mean, just maybe not the strong, but in the Bible, the strongest, but we'd say Samson. Samson was taken down by a woman of Timnath, by a harlot, and by Delilah, the strongest man. And the wisest man, Solomon, was brought down. He married many strange women. They turned his heart away from God. And David was the most spiritual man in the Bible. And Bathsheba was used to take him down. It said, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. We all know Proverbs 31 is a picture of the virtuous woman. The Bible says that she is far above rubies. And you'll have to look long and far to find really a biblical example of a virtuous woman. I only know one other woman. I don't know if Mary was, the mother of Jesus, but I think Ruth was called a virtuous woman. But she's far above rubies, a virtuous woman. But if you look at Proverbs chapter 7, you'll find a vicious woman here. And many times in the Bible, she's called the strange woman. And in Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hand. So we see here a virtuous woman, a vicious woman. And I believe in Genesis chapter 3, that Eve is a victimized woman. That Satan took advantage of her because she was the weaker vessel. Amen? And he got a hold of her emotions and got to, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But in Genesis 3 also, not only did she become a victimized woman, She became a victorious woman because of Genesis 3:15. God made a way of salvation. And they were reinstated. They didn't get back in the garden, but they were reinstated as one of his children. So we have the virtuous woman, the vicious woman, the victimized woman, and the victorious woman. We see a fallen woman became a forgiven woman. And I think Ms. Dodson talked about that yesterday in your ladies' meeting, how that on this rubbish pile over here, that they were those that were thrown away, the woman at the well and all these, but God got a hold of them. And God made something great. By the way, if you look in the story of Rahab and Boaz, Rahab, Boaz and Ruth, that Rahab was the mother of Boaz. And in that lineage, Rahab was in the lineage of Christ. So, whoa, isn't that good? That God would take, you know, a fallen vessel. And by the way, we're all fallen. Because of sin, we've all fallen, amen? So what I want you to do tonight, and you may want to jot some of these things down, because folks, this is so important. We're losing battles. Just this year, I heard of two more preachers up in Illinois way that we've known from football camp. I mean, strong, independent, fundamental Baptist churches. They're no longer in the ministry because of what I'm telling you right here. And it's not the Catholics. It's not the Muslims. Folks, it's independent, fundamental Baptists. It's a sin problem, not a religious problem. It is a sin problem, amen? So we want to look at what did Satan give Eve to work with? And first of all, I want you to notice in verse number 1, let's look at that again. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The first thing Satan gave her was attention. And ladies, been married 50 years, the same woman, you love attention. Right. Women will dress for attention. You want your husband to say, wow, you sure look nice. That's, you know, like that. But you know that, you know, psychologically, you know, you dress it. Some of you women are looking at me kind of strange already. We're just now getting started on this. But what we're trying to do is help you not become a victim where Satan would use you to destroy the work of God. There's two things in the Bible you'll find that Satan used, women and wealth. Have brought many, many men down. The love of money is the root of all evil. Well, if somebody covered after and they buried from the faith, you know that verse. But attention. In other words, she was at the place there, the forbidden place. And here was just a casual conversation. A little flattery, maybe. A place where she shouldn't have been, amen? And attention and a familiarity breeds contempt. And here she was, and by the way, if you ever worked in telemarketing, the telemarketers, what they want you to do is, first of all, answer the phone. If I see them, I'm, boom, I ain't going that way. But they just want somebody to answer the phone. And they know this, the longer they can keep you on the phone, they'll probably eventually sell you something. Satan's a great telemarketer. And he's got her attention. And in Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Folks, you should not have been there. But for some reason, curiosity got the best of her. She could have had all the other trees, but this one tree. And by the way, it wasn't a bad tree. It was just a forbidden tree. I mean, it was good. And the Bible says all these things right here. And let me just say this, men, you better pay attention to your wife. She needs your attention. She needs your attention. Preacher told me years ago, he said, love your wife or somebody will. You better give her attention or somebody will. That she is wired that way. She needs your attention. Amen? And she wants your time, and now you need to give that to her. You need to protect her. She is the weaker vessel. I'm not talking about, you know, she's a ding-a-ling. We don't go there, but anyway, maybe a few out there. But it's not saying that you're being put down. A woman, Jesus Christ elevated women so high. And today that I think there's a lot of things out of place where they shouldn't be, but that's another message. But in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And by the way, we're to love her as Christ. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself. Amen? And by the way, we ought to get, no matter what happens, I mean, Adam loved, he wasn't deceived, that he willfully took that fruit because he loved his wife. He was willing to die with her. Same way Christ died for his bride, the church. Amen? And gave himself for it. And men, no matter what your wife has done, you know, there's a vow that I think we made at the marriage altar. It says something like this, till death do you part. You know, we've never considered divorce, but death a few times, you know. But till death do you part, amen. And that means whatever goes on, you know, if somebody falls or whatever happens, you know, you're to be there to pick them up. Amen. And people say, well, that's it. Look, Adam could have very easily said when Eve was deceived, God, she messed up, make me another one. He didn't say that. But that's where a lot of people are. You know, one spouse or somebody else messes up or something, they say, well, God, make me another one. No, he loved her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. But first of all, Satan gave her attention. Amen. And we better be careful. I mean, just throw this in. This is extra. Ladies, you know what men need? No, it's not that, okay? Men need appreciation. You know, all they hear sometimes is, yeah, 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 yeah. How did you get that fixed? Why didn't you get that fixed? Here's a honey. Guy comes in from work all day long. He has his honey-do list. When can you get around this? And by the way, while you're up, she's going like that over there. But, you know, and again, let me say this. If you don't appreciate your husband, somebody will. And by the way, I found this day and age, there's a whole lot of them out there looking for somebody to pay the bills, take care of them and their bunch of kids. Amen? But Satan, first of all, gave Eve attention. Number two, in verse number 5, he gave her an argument. Look at that, if you will. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He gave her an argument. It was a false doctrine. And a false doctrine, he gave her the argument of humanism. You can become as God. And by the way, false doctrine breeds confusion. And this argument was talking points. And we have that in our school system, humanism versus creationism. It's just humanism, really not versus anything. They won't let you have creationism or the Bible. And they say, yea, hath God said, and you shall be as gods, and it's your opinion versus God. Remember, well, I don't want to jump into that in first, but this false doctrine of situational ethics of God understands. I mean, and that is people promote this stuff. Promote stuff to do things that are wrong. I read this the other day, and it's a conservative Jew. I don't know if you said Prager University. If you've seen anything like that, Prager University, anybody say that? Yeah. He's promoting, conservative Jew, he is promoting to use pornography in place of an adultery. Now, you just take that, and I've shut him down as far as what I'm reading. Now, he's conservative. He's promoting it's okay to use pornography if it prevents adultery. But let me tell you what, I don't know about you, but that's sick. Because pornography is adultery. But they don't believe, now you got to think what they're thinking. They don't believe that to look upon a woman with lust is a sin. Because they don't believe that book is the Word of God. They don't believe this is the Bible. Amen, and that's a shame. But so they can come up with all this stuff like this. So there's that argument. And you hear people, you talk to people, they argue all the time. Because they have this argument of humanism, well, it's okay, and everybody's doing it, situation ethics. But he gave her attention, he gave her an argument. But look at verse number 6, he gave her something else. He gave her an appetite for sin. Look at verse 6, if you would. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and by the way, Satan doesn't throw out slop. He doesn't throw out puke and says, boy, doesn't this look good? You know, something drove that prodigal son to the far country. Something drove him there. And it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her. And he did eat also. So this appetite of the forbidden, it breeds corruption. Look in Genesis 2 and verse number 17, this appetite for sin. Genesis 2 and verse number 17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I mean, even though it was good, it was pleasant. By the way, the devil throws things out that look good. Good paying job to pull you away from the Word of God, pull you away from church. It looks good. It sounds good. And as far as the world's concerned, it is good, but it's forbidden by God. And this appetite breeds corruption right here in Genesis 3 and verse number 6. Again, there the woman saw it and she took it and she did eat. So what did she do? She sinned. Even though she was deceived, she still went against God. And God held the man responsible, by the way. But she sinned against God. And James 1:14 says, for every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Joshua 7, verse 21, Achan saw a Babylonish garment, a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold, shekels of weight. Then I coveted them, took them. Behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now she has tasted sin, and she found it's good. But really, there's pleasure in sin for a season. And all that Satan wants you to do is to take the first bite. The first kiss. The first. I tell folks all the time, invitation time, be careful. Don't give Satan that first second. Move when God says move. If you hesitate a second, he's got two, he's got three, he's got you. Amen? That's the way he works. He just wants you to step out and just one time. One time. That's why it's so important you will not miss church. Well, what's so wrong about one time? Makes it easier the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time. And after that, you want to quit? He said, no, why should you quit? But he gave her an appetite for sin. And that's what we really have to watch with our kids. We really do. I tell them down in East Texas, I said, isn't it amazing that down here you put fences around your cattle because your cattle are expensive, and you want to protect your cattle because they're expensive. But you won't put a fence around your kids. Now, see, your cattle are more important than your kids. Amen. You just give the kids, here's the car keys, truck keys. Y'all just go out and have fun. They will. I'm saying you need to listen here. This is it's not going to be long tonight. But Satan gave her attention. He gave her an argument. He gave her an appetite. And here's what you want to see in verse number 6. He gave her an appointed target. What was the target? It was the fall of man. And this breeds collapse of mankind. See, when God made everything, he said, and it was good. And it was very good. God made all this, and he made a man, and he breathed into the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he takes a rib, he makes a woman, he brings a woman to the man. She's the helpmeet, and it's all good. In the next chapter, Satan attacks. He attacks mankind because he hates God. And so by attacking mankind the way he attacks mankind, he couldn't get to the man, but he got to the woman. And that's why, ladies, you need to be very, very careful. Because Satan wants to stir you up. Satan wants you to be bold. Satan wants you to, yeah, my old man, he ain't worth much, but I just have to take over. You better be careful. Because there's in the Bible, there's a lady named Abigail. And she, her husband was a turkey buzzard. Turkey buzzard. He wasn't worth shooting. But you know what? She did not go over his authority. And when she found out that David was going to kill her husband, she went and protected her husband. Here's a good thing, ladies. If your husband's that way, God killed this guy. So I'm just saying God may take your... He said, you know, let God kill him. Don't you kill him because you go to jail. I just thought about that anyway, by the way. But in verse 6, and gave also unto her husband. You can read around that any way you want to. You know, I thought, well, if he was there, why didn't he shut her down? Why don't he tell her no? Men, have you ever tried to tell your wife, no? You know the results of that, don't you? Come on. You can amen too, you know. Let's man up, son. This as long as you don't tell her no too many times. My wife will say, well, is this one of those submission things? You know, because I'll guarantee you, and I've never been a woman, don't want to be one. I'm just glad to be a man, okay? I don't want transgender to nothing, just transgender to heaven, you know, I guess what I want to transgender to one day. But, you know, in every woman there is that, you know, wanting to control. And the only way you can really live in true submission, that's where any way you want to go, men, we're to submit to each other. But if you want to submit to your husband, it takes being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You better be walking the Spirit, you're not fulfilled the lust of the flesh. Amen? But our society promotes all this stuff, and it's tearing down the family. Everything. You know that God, that in the very beginning, that he wanted to protect the family so well, whether it was transgender, whether it was sodomy, whether it was adultery, whatever, it was a death penalty. If you messed with the marriage, you were to be killed. Amen? And we've kind of got liberal with that and done away with that. But, you know, if we went back to maybe that, it might shut down some of the things that are going on. But in verse 17 in Genesis 3 there, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. And you say, well, preacher, what have you learned in married 51 years? Well, you better choose your own battles. Which battle? Because there are going to be battles. Amen? But you better be careful, you know, and this thing right here of hearken, there's a time that you better listen to your wife. Amen? She is a type of the Holy Spirit. And I remember when Michael, Michelle, whatever you want to call her. I wouldn't want to call her woman Michael. I don't know why they named Michael. But anyway, she told David, she said, if you don't get out of here tonight, you're going to die. They're going to kill you. And David listened to her. It saved his life. Amen. So there's a time that you better listen, men, to your wife. My wife's favorite verse I read a while ago, dwell with them according to knowledge. When I start making a decision, she says, dwell with them according to knowledge. I don't know if that's a threat. You know, I'm just thinking, okay, I'm a man. Now, if I back down here, you know, dwell with them according to knowledge. And so I said, yeah, because you'll never understand them. But anyway, there's a time there, and here he hearkened to the voice of his wife when he should now. Yeah. Satan's number one target was not the woman. It was the man. Yeah. Because he was after mankind. If you go back and look in Psalms chapter number 8, that God crowned Adam as head of the human race. Adam, not Adamette. Okay? Adam was the one that God holds responsible. And his target was not the woman, but what he did was he weaponized the woman. He made the woman a weapon to use against the man. And by the way, he works that way. Amen? He weaponized the woman. He weaponized Bathsheba against David. He made Bathsheba available. And most sin is available. That's why we, you know, it's all casual. Everything now, just a one-night stand, all these things. He makes sin available. And he weaponized Bathsheba. And you read your Bible, you find how these women he weaponized. And against Samson was the woman of Timnath and the harlot and Delilah. He weaponized them against Samson. The strongest man, he weaponized the woman against Samson. The wisest man, Solomon, he weaponized women against strange women. And David, the most spiritual man in the Bible, he weaponized a woman against. See, ladies, God has a special place for you. But if you're not careful, and because you are, I know you may not like the idea of saying you're the weaker vessel, but God said it. And so you want to get mad at God. I'm just a delivery boy. And nowadays, though, when I say that weaker vessel, I'm thinking, man, you've got women nowadays that are so masculine, and you got feminized men. By the way, let me get on this hobby horse a little bit. we're the ones in the church, we're the ones that ushered in this transgenderism when we began cross-dressing and saying it's okay for a woman to dress like a man. Amen? And for a man to dress like a woman. If I had a skirt on up here, if I did and I don't, but if I had a skirt on and I was preaching with my skirt on, I hope this don't go Facebook somewhere. I mean, heaven help you. Because we done got a bunch of Facebook. Put that phone down. Because I'll guarantee you one thing, woman, you won't get $1 support out of us. Matter of fact, you'll get canceled. Thank you. No, put it in the purse. Don't even be tempted with it. See, that's why the woman's a weaker vessel. Got rocks in her head. But, you know, if I was up here in a dress, y'all would laugh. Look at him. He's a sissy. But you put a woman up here in a pair of pants, ain't nobody going to laugh. But see, when we began to cross-dress, and then when we began to cross-dress, we began to, you know, you really act like, you know, the way you dress. And they've proven that. You know, you dress like a slob, you act like a slob. You dress up, put on a tuxedo, you act, you know, I'm pretty important. And what's happened to women now, they're all in men's sports. You say, well, shouldn't there be equality? So that's a lie of the devil again. That's a lie of the devil right there. And say, well, how do you know whether or not you should get involved in that sport? If you can't do it like a lady, if you can't play tennis like a lady, and they used to play like ladies, amen. Come back and look at some of the old pictures. They dressed modestly when they played tennis. And if you got to take your clothes off to play a sport, amen, y'all got me off. That wasn't even my message, you know. I just look at some of, you know, you're just going to take a picture, wouldn't you? And it would be in Center, Texas before I said the last amen. And you would get no support, I guarantee you. Because we've already got pictures, already made it back to Center, Texas from the ladies meeting. And Miss Dodson playing on a Pac-Man machine. Thank you, Miss Preacher. Very, 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 very much. But back to this, that the purpose of getting the woman so she could be the channel to get to the man to eat it. And she did. You know, Delilah, Samson, you know, he had this great strength, and it was, you know, it wasn't because he didn't let his hair grow. His hair grew up, was kind of the strength was in God. But, you know, she sat there and just kind of played with his hair and twisted a little bit and tell me you're sick. Finally gave in. He gave in. And see, the devil used her to destroy. And by the way, it destroyed Samson. You know the story there. But I want you to notice something right here. That in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world. See, he's not blaming the woman. He's blaming the man. Because they put the man in charge. And death by sin, so death passed all men, that for all have sinned. And I really believe at this point right here, Satan had believed that he had won. I believe that he and all the little imps of hell were high-fiving each other. And they said, we won. He took it. He took the bait. But they forgot something, though. It was short-lived. So I want to shift gears for one more. I want you to see what God gave Adam. We know what Satan gave Eve, but why did God give Adam and Eve for their fallen mankind? And I just say this, but God, look at Genesis 3:15. He gave them a promise. He announced recovery program, an ARP, to fix the problem, which breeds the cure for all mankind. See, just about the time Satan thinks he's got you, God is greater. Who was it? Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I know, and it's happened and over the years, and being a pastor, I've seen this happen over and over again, how Satan has gone and used the woman to destroy a home. But God still puts at the feet of the man And that's why that men, you need to be kept, you know, you need to tell your wife when she wants to get something she shouldn't get. Here's an East Texas word. Ham. Hey, man, that's, Brother Smith would like that, being from Myrtle Springs, you know, Texas. He said, well, I live in East Texas. I said, Brother Smith, you don't live in East Texas. We live in East Texas. You don't live there in Myrtle Springs. But, you know, if your wife wants to, if you're a man, you just say, how? Get back in the car. You're not going to do it. This ain't working. Yep. And it won't work over here on this side either. When's the time you told her, ham? You don't mean it. I know you. You don't mean it. But, you know, about the time Satan thought he had this thing won. Amen? I know in our personal life, we'll tell you that Satan wanted to destroy our marriage. And by the way, he wants to do it early. Because if he can destroy you early in your marriage, he'll disqualify you from the ministry. But I found out something else. He hits harder in old age, in our age. He wants you to fall before you finish. Then he can point his finger. You've given the enemies of God great occasion to blaspheme. He doesn't want you to finish well. And by the way, my goal is to finish well. There's two main vows I made in my lifetime. One was to my wife, and I want to be true to that. The other was to my God, and I want to end that also well. Keeping those vows. Amen? But the message here basically is this, is ladies, we're not putting women down. Thank God for you. I mean, who would clean our house if we didn't have you? Who would wash our dishes and who would... Now, I'm talking big now because I'm behind a pulpit. And Miss Dots is just looking. She's scaring me because she's just looking. Because see, she's lived with me for over 50 years. She knows, amen. But I, you know, dwell with them according to knowledge. Amen. But in Genesis 3:21, Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and he clothed them. So they tried to clothe themselves. Yeah. And, you know, they just got by skimpy. And man cannot clothe himself. They need to shed blood. Amen. And the Lord shed the blood of an animal. That was a type of Christ coming on Calvary. That's right. And they were reclaimed. Amen. Reclaimed right here. Back in the family of God. Let me just say this. They were forgiven. They were cleansed. God does, and thank God when God saves us, he forgives of our sin, past, present, and future sins. But understand this, the consequences don't go away. There's a principle in the Bible that says you'll reap what you sow. And even though all your sins, whenever your sins are forgiven, your consequences don't go away. You'll reap what you sow. And that's why you need to be careful making decisions. Because, I mean, every one of us have made decisions that we probably would regret sometime way down the road. And God will forgive us of our sin. But the consequences, when the prodigal son came home, he still had the consequence. He had already spent his inheritance. It wasn't all rosy. And so you got to understand, and by the way, they were not allowed back in the garden. He had to work by the sweat of his brow. And then the pain that you ladies go through in childbirth, thank you for that. Amen. The consequences don't go away. You reap what you sow. But I'm just simply saying tonight is, ladies, be careful. Satan wants to use you to destroy your home. Let me tell you what, you just have to really sometimes be very careful, because sometimes the husband doesn't always make the wisest decisions. But you need to help him do that. Be a helpmate, amen? And encourage him if he's not where he should be, like Abigail. I mean, she took care of the old guy. Amen. And God took care of him too, in another way. But our society, it promotes just the opposite of what I'm telling you. Just the opposite of what I'm telling you right here. And thank God for your husband. Amen. And if he wants to serve God, you ought to thank God for him.
Right.
Well, he's just down at your, and I know you ladies are jealous. Y'all are jealous, I know that, but it may not be another woman, it may be the church. It may be the work, but I just advise you, just do all this together. Yeah. You know, anytime you're separated, you're giving the devil an occasion. I had a young couple come to me years ago and said, "Preacher, we're having some problems, and so we're going to separate. Do we get them worked out?" I said, don't. Evidently, they didn't get them worked out because they got divorced. Folks, separation doesn't solve the problem. Amen? But what Satan gave Eve? He gave her attention. He gave her an argument. He gave her an appetite and an appointed target. He went through her to destroy man, who he thought he had destroyed mankind. But thank God, he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. We serve a great, amen, almighty God. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He said, "Let me tell you something else, boys. You didn't send me down here. God sent me." Amen. And I always remember this, no matter what has happened, God is greater. God, but don't put yourself in a place where Satan, I mean, he's a deceiver. He is very subtle. And I tell young girls or anything, girl, my advice is don't work in an area where there's another man, another man, and you work in a single girl. Or if you're even married and you're working in an area where there's other married men and they're not, that is very dangerous. Because see what they'll do, they'll be like Satan, they'll be very subtle. And they will talk and they will, you know, and before you know it, we've got problems. 80% of marital affairs begin at the workplace. Usually around a water fountain with just some attention given. Attention given. I mean, the woman works in the office with another man, is not her husband. Everything looks great, but one day, you know, at home all the time, husband and wife, you know, you come and put on a pretty good face coming to church. But at home, sometimes there's just a little bit, yeah. And you walk in the front door back there and the preacher says, "How y'all doing?" "Oh, everything's wonderful, preacher." That's the first lie, you get to the altar. But there's come a day when maybe he said something before you left home. And it just didn't really set well with you. And so you walk in the office, here's the man. "How you doing today?" "Oh," she said, "well, it's not really good." "Oh, really? Come here, let me give you a hug." It's all downhill, folks. It is all downhill. I'm just saying these things are out there. They're going on all the time. We're losing missionaries. We're losing pastors. Church folks are falling in the trap of Satan. And we need, this is an understanding thing. We need to understand how Satan works. And he gives you that attention. You don't want the attention from Satan. The attention, ladies, you should get should be from your husband. Let me just interject something here. If you're working in a situation like that, and some man says anything that would be questionable, go home and tell your husband immediately. I'd say leave the job immediately.
Amen.
Because Satan's got his little imps all over the place. But what Satan gave Eve, don't let that happen to you. Don't be the call. Lady, God put you in an elevated place. There's nothing wrong with being a helpmeet. And the man of God in your family is your husband. And help him become what he should be. And you get strong home, you'll have a strong church. Folks, our country is going down because the foundation of the home is being torn apart. Transgenderism, gag a maggot off a meat wagon. I mean, transgender, God only made a male and made a female. He made Adam and Eve, he didn't make Adam and Steve. And all this garbage they're teaching in school is a bunch of garbage. And by the way, the reason why they're getting by with it is because nobody's saying anything about it. Now, they are starting to speak up, and we ought to. Folks, God didn't make transgender. Sodomy's not of God. Adultery's not of God. Fornication's not of God. God wants the home intact, because with strong homes, you'd have strong churches. And the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. You're not going to get the truth from Washington, D.C. You're president. As my wife has said, if he is. having an out-of-the-body experience. But anyway, you're not going to get the truth in Washington, D.C. You're not going to get the truth down at the local schoolhouse. Drag queens. I mean, I'm just grabbing stuff right now, but drag queens. Why would you want a drag queen teaching your kids at school? Right. Say, well, what's a drag queen? It's a glorified harlot with just more makeup on. And they've got them in schools teaching little kids. And no right-minded parent ought to ever have their kids subject to that. Right. Because, I mean, they're there 40 hours a week. This is a bunch of garbage. Yep. And by the way, we need to stand up for the old Bible. Amen. And tell folks, and thank God for the church, because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. And Satan has got into our churches and made rock concerts out of them. Yeah. I mean, thank God for your church. Amen. If that man of God gets up and takes the word of God and preaches to the people of God, that's what you ought to want. Amen. And you ought to encourage him. Amen, amen, preacher. Amen. That's right, preacher. And leave here wanting to charge hell with a water pistol. Amen. So I'm too old to turn back now. I know I don't look old, but you know, I'm too old to turn back now. And you know, I want to finish well. I want our church to finish well. My greatest fear is some young preacher comes in, millennial, you know, has never paid the price, but wants all the things that God has done. And they would turn it upside down. And all it takes is one preacher. Right. Don't take long to do that, amen? Amen? And it's happened over and over again. All right, let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you, Father, for the day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your good people. Thank you for allowing us to be here this weekend. We appreciate that and appreciate preacher and his wife and his family. And thank you for the good church, good spirit, good enthusiasm. And thank you they're here at Lighthouse in Moore, Oklahoma. Oklahoma City area. We pray you might continue to bless them, and we just thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of these folks at this church here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come, God spoke to your